We're fast approaching, aren't we? The season to goodwill to all men. Not quite sure about you women, but I'm fairly sure it does include you. This morning we're going to be continuing our series on the motivational spiritual gifts, and considering that Christmas is just around the corner, if you haven't noticed, it sort of seems apt, doesn't it, that our next two gifts we're going to be covering is a mercy and giving. And today I'm going to speak about the gift of mercy. In the New Testament, the New Testament of the Bible, it gives countless, doesn't it, countless accounts of the mercy of Jesus. We have Jesus showing mercy, don't we, to the adulterous woman, not condemning her when the crowd wanted to stone her. Jesus being merciful to a couple of blind men sitting by the road, and he restored their sight. A Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, and Jesus showed mercy and healed her. When we have a couple of accounts, don't we? Well, quite a few accounts of large crowds gathering. And Jesus had compassion on them, and he taught them, and he healed them. I mean, Jesus even fed them all as they'd been with him for over 3 days with nothing to eat. Jesus healed many lepers, considered the absolute outcasts of the society of the day. I mean, we even have an account of demons asking for mercy from Jesus, and Jesus giving them permission to enter a herd of pigs. And just as a side note, the story, which can be found in Mark chapter 5, has nothing to do with Jesus, who was a Jew, who couldn't eat pork. He wasn't a little bit miffed about that, and he sent them away. So I just want to clarify that one for you this morning. Jesus not only demonstrated mercy, didn't he? He also had a lot to say about it as well. At the start of his ministry, when he delivers the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of the day for not showing mercy. In the book of Matthew, we read, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness." When Jesus calls Matthew to be one of his disciples, the Pharisees ask, "Why does this Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And just apologies to HM Revenues and Customs, who do a wonderful job in collecting our taxes. I'm singling them out as being sinners. The New Testament of the Bible has a lot to say about mercy. But what does it say about it in the Old Testament of the Bible? We might have an idea, or we might think, that the Old Testament is mainly concerned with God's judgment, God's rules and regulations, always sort of coming down hard on his people when they don't obey him. But this couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth, because mercy is at the heart, is at the core of who God is, because God is love. King David, when he wrote Psalm 25, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." In the book of Hosea, which Jesus happens to quote, which I've just said, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." The prophet Micah tells us that God wants this as well, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And in the book of Lamentations, it even says, and I sort of say even really, because this book is all about the destruction of Jerusalem, which isn't particularly uplifting. But anyway, it says this even in Lamentations, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Does that sound familiar? Contrary to popular belief, that verse did come first before the song. Okay. So mercy, it isn't just a New Testament thing. Now, you might be wondering, how on earth am I going to weave a Christmas message into the motivational gift of mercy? Well, I know I don't have to, but I'm gonna give it a go. Well, at Christmas, the world, doesn't it? It tends to be a little bit more compassionate and merciful, doesn't it? But that isn't it. That, put that to one side for the moment. When I noticed also, when the American presidency comes to an end, one of the things they can do, isn't it, is to pardon people, that he shows mercy on them. And this just so happens to happen around Christmas time. But that isn't it either. Boxing Day. Boxing Day is probably so named because on the 26th of December, the St. Stephen's Day, Feast of Stephen, gifts of money and alms to the poor were distributed in small boxes, showing love and mercy to those less fortunate. But that isn't it also. And you will also be very pleased to know that associating mercy with Christmas has nothing to do with that 2017 American comedy horror film called Mercy Christmas. I've not seen it. I think it just sounds awful, doesn't it? And anyway, just to clarify to everybody, everybody knows the top number one classic Christmas film is Die Hard. With the classic Christmas line, "Ho, ho, ho, I now have a machine gun." But let me get back on track a little bit here. Mercy at Christmas. It all boils down to what mercy actually is and how God applies that to us. Mercy can be defined as an act of kindness, compassion, or favor. It's the act of compassion, tolerance, benevolence, or pity shown towards an offender or enemy or any other person in one's power. Mercy can be the discretionary power of a judge to pardon somebody or to mitigate punishment. And when, you know, that person's guilty, they're not sent to prison. The punishment is pardoned or mitigated. Mercy is probably not a gift you would associate with Jesus' birth, but mercy, and of course love, God's love for us, is at the heart of why Jesus came to this world, why he was born. We may not think we need mercy because anything we do wrong, by and large, we don't think deserves prison. But actually, everyone does. Everyone does require mercy. When Jesus says it's not the healthy that needs a doctor, he wasn't talking about illness, but a condition of the human heart called sin, which separates us from God and puts us in rebellion to God. None are healthy when it comes to sin. And God the Father, out of his incredible love and mercy, sent Jesus to this earth to be born in human likeness, not only to show and teach us about mercy, but also to give his life for us to cure the illness of sin in our lives. And all, and I definitely include myself in that, deserve to be judged and thrown into prison because of the lack of love and mercy and forgiveness and compassion that we show. And if you don't think that applies to you, can you honestly say for everyone that you have ever met, or for every thought that you have ever had, that it was 100% of 100% of the time completely full of grace, love, and mercy? You see, Jesus even tells us that we should love our enemies. What are God's standards? Well, Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. None of us can be, but God, out of his mercy, paves the way through Jesus. So believing and trusting in Jesus makes it possible to be forgiven, no longer an enemy of God. Like I said earlier, Jesus has a lot to say to people that don't show mercy. Jesus demonstrated mercy by being merciful, and he taught us that we are all, every single one of us, we're required to be merciful, to show mercy, to have a merciful heart. And some of us, however, have been given that extra empowerment to demonstrate God's mercy here on earth, which drives us forward. For that person, mercy is the primary motivational factor for their actions and ministries in serving God and serving others in the body of Christ, the church. The motivational spiritual gift of mercy is a gift which equips the believer in Jesus to practice and demonstrate incredible acts of compassion to those that are the outcasts of our society. The homeless, the drug addicts, the poor, the sick, the people who are unloved for whatever reason, even the tax collectors. Is mercy and compassion the same thing? Well, it's sort of, but the main difference is that mercy is a term referring to benevolence, forgiveness and kindness, and compassion is a love. They certainly go hand in hand with somebody showing acts of mercy, mainly through their deep compassion for someone else. People with the gift of mercy have a divine ability to sense hurt and respond to it with love and understanding. And just to remind you, we can all do that, can't we? And I'm not saying that if you haven't got this gift, you wouldn't or you shouldn't respond. It's just that most probably a person with a gift of mercy would have seen it before you. And don't feel bad, because you have your gift and you would see other things first that they wouldn't. A person with the motivational gift of mercy, they have many, many strengths. The mature mercy giver is kind, gentle, attentive, sensitive, fair, compassion, yielding, and sacrificial. You'll be finding later, you know, a lot of these things, a lot of these characteristics will overlap different gifts, and that's a good thing. The mercy giver, they can sense and reflect the spiritual and emotional atmosphere around them. They can recognize the feelings that may be at work in others' minds and hearts, which equips them to reach out to people who are suffering. And they otherwise, those people may be otherwise reluctant to tell people about their needs, but the mercy giver can sense. They have a deep sense of compassion for people who are going through mental or emotional distress, and will try and remove the source of the hurt, often wanting to share the pain with them. They love the unlovable, the outcasts of society. They run towards people who are unpleasant, rebellious, or unresponsive, reflecting the heart of God towards people that most of us would want to run away from. People with the gift of mercy reach out and get involved. To the mercy giver, their spirituality is not a textbook analysis, but rather it's an emotional confirmation of God's presence in their lives. And because of their sensitivity, they do not take sin lightly, their own or someone else's. And because of their sensitive spirit, they tend to embrace humility because they are so aware of their own weaknesses and failures. They will demonstrate loyalty to friends, including reacting harshly towards those who attack their friends. Their friendships are based on a mutual commitment which needs to be reaffirmed often. Believers who have the gift of mercy are usually the backbone of the prayer power in the fellowship. Prayer is an expression of their heart to God. So the only thing they can do to release these emotions is to pray. It's a must, an absolute must. We all have weaknesses, all of us, and the person with the motivational gift of mercy is no exception. I mention these not to condemn or to judge, but only as a guide to things to watch out for. People with the gift of mercy, they sometimes can be indecisive, tossed to and fro by their emotions, because they are prone to base their decisions on emotions rather than principles. They could allow others to become dependent on them, when the individual should be dependent on God. Often they can become rescuers to people who don't need to be rescued, and can be quick to take up other offences. And this can so easily lead to an anger or a bitterness towards the offender because of the emotional situation. Because of the deep desire for friendship, this could also lead to becoming possessive, monopolizing the time and attention of others. The mercy giver's warmth can be falsely interpreted as personal, intimate affection, which can lead to both parties being in a situation of temptation where any relationship formed would not be honoring to God. Mercy givers tried to avoid conflict at any cost because they don't want to offend. And when they're given positions of leadership, this can lead to avoiding any disciplinary action that is needed. Thus, the person who should have been disciplined is not brought to repentance. Others react to their leadership and more conflict develops. Mercy givers can react to the idea that God would allow a good person to suffer. And unless they maintain a proper perspective, it could develop into a bitterness towards God. Immature mercy givers can be harsh and impatient, reflecting their own self-condemnation on others who they see as weak or sinful as they are. They can be introspective and worriers, dwelling on past mistakes or sins, and this can lead to them developing a poor self-image as they remain acutely aware of their own failures. If we're prone to any of these things in our lives, or we're not quite sure, then we've got the Holy Spirit, haven't we, to guide and gently reveal things that need refining and healing. As we draw close to Jesus, the perfect mercy giver, we learn from the Master and let the Spirit of God change and mold us into becoming more like him. Do you recognize any strengths or weaknesses of a mercy giver in yourself? If you did, you would be in excellent company. The disciple John, he had many strengths and weaknesses of a typical mercy giver. Ask the Holy Spirit for more clarity if you're not sure that God has given you this motivational gift. Or do you just this morning need to receive God's mercy in your life today? Whether that's because you have recognized a weakness, or maybe it's because you just need to start believing and trusting in Jesus. I just want to finish with one final thought this morning. Russell Kelfer, an author of a book entitled Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts, says this of all the motivational spiritual gifts: this isn't a gift for you to put on the mantle like a trophy to admire. It's like a certain kind of glove that you can put on that allows your hands to do the work of the ministry they were called to do. It's like a certain kind of spiritual shoes you wear to take you where you need to go. And how true that is for the gift of mercy. Why? Well, in order to extend mercy, we have to be proximate to the broken, the outcasts, to go, to be where they are. Not only to follow Jesus' example, but to follow Jesus, working alongside him with the people that need to be shown mercy. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we come before you knowing that we're a people that do require your mercy. And Lord, we thank you that you give it in abundance because of your love for us. We thank you that there's no condemnation because we can be clothed in your righteousness. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, just help us to recognize the strengths and weaknesses that we have. Help us to recognize whether this is a gift that you have blessed us with. And Lord, help us all to recognize the need for you, Lord Jesus, that we need to come to you always, to be restored, healed, forgiven, equipped. And that, Lord, we just want to, Lord, we just want to work alongside you in whatever you're doing. As you said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And Lord, how true we want that to be in our lives as well. So Lord, just take us all and help us to come and just be. Come to him and just be and worship him.